Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Boy, do we have a fun one on tap for you today as we welcome you into this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line. We're coming to you from coast to coast, as always. Former longtime NFL executive Michael Lombardi out at his office in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, holding it down at our VSiN studio live from Circa Resort and Casino. It is cut down day in the NFL as all 32 teams look to get their rosters down to the 53. Also make decisions about whether or not to activate players from the PUP list, which, Michael, I think is a fair place to start as we jump right in. Because how about the worst team in the NFL yesterday? Keeping us on our toes, Kyler Murray will be remaining on the PUP list as we expected. What was not so expected was seeing the guy who we thought would start for him, Colt McCoy, getting released. What was your first thought when you heard the news?
Well, look, Colt McCoy is a wonderful person, and he probably will run for the Senate in Texas, and he will win. He is going to be a great politician. However, that being said, Colt has seen his better days as an NFL player. I don't think Colt can stay healthy. You know, I mean, I think I'm going to look here. I don't think he's ever played in 17 consecutive games or 16 in his entire career. He's just not built that way. He's a backup. You know, he's 37 years old into the season. Like, this didn't surprise me at all. I mean, look, when they traded for Joshua Dobbs, it wasn't to be the caddy for Colt. It was to get Joshua Dobbs in there. Remember, Drew Petsick, the offensive coordinator of the Cardinals, he was with Dobbs in Cleveland last year. So he knows him. He's familiar with him, knows his character. That's going to be an important concept here as we trend down this Cardinal road. So I got to be honest, Stormy. I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, but that didn't surprise me at all. What's shocking to me is people are actually thinking – they're going to tank because they got rid of Colt. They were tanking if they played Colt.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that the other day. You look at the way that they were offloading some players, getting draft capital as much as they could. The expectation already is largely that they have the worst roster in the NFL this year from a talent perspective, top to bottom, let alone having a guy who hasn't started more than four games in a single season since 2011 and is, as you mentioned, 34 years old. So I agree. Like, we've all kind of anticipated that this was what the Cardinals' mentality was, could likely, because of the trade with the Texans this past draft, get the first two overall selections in the 2024 NFL draft. But what surprised me, Michael, with this whole Colt McCoy thing wasn't that he's like 37 years old, excuse me, wasn't that he's just some world beater that was, you know, anticipated to win a few games for Arizona while Kyler Murray was sitting. It was just that he's been taking all of these first team reps. He got the starts in the preseason, the game that all of the starters sat, he sat. So it just gave you that implication that he was going to be the starter. But nope, going ahead with Josh Dobbs. You mentioned the relationship he has with the OC, but same thing with the quarterback's coach over there, had a relationship from Cleveland, Israel Wolfork. So now it's between him and fifth-round pick Clayton Tune to get that starting job. But you anticipate it'll be Dobbs, even though it's only been a couple days that he's been with the team and a few remaining before that first game?
I mean, look, Dobbs went into a playoff-type game against Jacksonville with very little work, right? And he played fairly well. He knows Petsick's offense. Really a smart kid. I think where this story needs to go to, and where I think it's the most interesting – and as always, we always just look at the transaction and analyze that. When they got rid of Colt McCoy yesterday, that was the one player in the Cardinal locker room that had a relationship with Kyler Murray, that actually Kyler Murray listened to. And that's not something that's common in the Cardinal organization, that Murray's going to listen to somebody, coach or player. So to me, this move is on two fronts. Yes, we know Colt's 37. Yes, we know he can't stay healthy. Yes, we know that it's probably the best thing to move on. But it's also, where does this leave Murray in terms of how we're dealing with this player? I think that's the question is moving forward, because they've cut off the guy that actually had a relationship. Now, maybe Colt's going to come back and be a coach next year. I don't know. But to me, what I'm smelling coming out of Tempe, or where they're Chandler, Arizona, is this is a shift within the character of the team. It's a shift within the culture of their team. And I don't think anybody is going to be sacred to save, regardless of the contract.
Well, and this is an organization, too, that, Michael, to an extent, you know, that old saying, when if someone shows you who they are, believe them. They weren't afraid after drafting Josh Rosen, number 10 overall, to that very next year, going out and drafting Kyler Murray, number 1 overall. Granted, this comes with a much bigger price tag attached to it with Kyler Murray if you move on, because that was all I heard yesterday when I saw this news was, Caleb Williams, Caleb. That was all I was really hearing in the background when it comes to the expectation of what's going to happen next, regardless of that guaranteed contract.
Yeah, and I think that's something they have to consider, right? Because... again, is Caleb Williams better than Murray? We're going to find out. They're going to know who Murray is as a person within the building. Look, let's go back to that scene. Let's go back to that day where Buda Baker is laying on the field, injured, and the entire team is around him. And my man Kyler Murray is sitting on the bench with a towel over him. Could care less. Now, people say that's not a big deal. Let me tell you something really quickly. That's a huge deal. That's not a little deal. That's a huge deal. That is divisive from within. And that'll split a locker room. And I'm not sure his teammates have ever overcome that. I would go out on a limb, reliably, to say that Buda hasn't recovered from it. And Buda's the heart and soul of their team. So with this new regime, and I know Monty Osenhoff, I worked with him in New England, he's culture. He's all about guys buying into the program. That isn't who Murray has been during his career. Look, the reason they extended him, and I've asked people this who are no longer in the organization, like, why did you do it? Well, we didn't want him to be a pain. We knew he was going to be a pain. Here's what I think people don't remember. Everybody thinks they hired Kingsbury, and then that led him down the Murray road, okay? That's not what happened at all. They were going down the Murray road, and they thought Kingsbury would be the best guy to coach him, and that's why they went with him. So this was predetermined. The Rosen thing that run its course, which I'm sure Femi would say he didn't see enough of Rosen. I'm sure of that. However, that being said, I think to me, this is an organization that is going to be all around the change. They had no reason to redo Murray's contract other than they just didn't want to hear him chirping.
And you mentioned the personality issues. That's been well documented. But then even last year before the injury, the on-field play was not good. In 11 years, 3-8 with a career low 87.2 passer rating, season was a mess for him, which I think is just as concerning, if not more, than the just general personality chemistry issues that he had with the guys around him. From a betting standpoint, Michael, with the Colt McCoy news, still no change with that opening line. 7-point underdog in Washington against the Commanders for week one. As far as the season goes, anywhere from 16-1 to 22-1. I saw that number here at Circa for the Cardinals to go 0-17, plus 220 to have the fewest regular season wins this year, 4-1 to be the last winless team. And I know next week we'll get into a little bit of our survivor preview and what teams people may want to either bet on or fade throughout the course of the season. And I have a feeling that the Cardinals are going to be pretty high on that list throughout the year. We also want to make sure we get to here off the top, Michael, any news that you might be hearing with Jonathan Taylor and the Colts. We talked about it yesterday. The team obviously allowed him to seek a trade. Today is the deadline for whether or not he's going to get moved. You said you anticipate him just ending on PUP himself and staying in Indy.
Yeah, I just don't think there's I think there's interest. I think teams have called Chris Ballard. They say the agent is saying to every insider, there's two teams, right? But he also says, keep it off the record. Why would you say it? You already told Steve Holder you got two teams in there, right? So, like, seriously, like, he's trying to drum it up. I don't know who the two teams are. Everybody thinks it's Miami. But for me, if there hasn't been a substantive offer to Ballard, from my understanding, is Ballard's just not going to give him away. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't going to be, let's wait this out and we'll get him for a fourth at 355. I don't think that's going to happen. It could. Nothing surprises me in the NFL, but I think this is on a steady course. Look, if you haven't made a deal by now, when are you making it? When are you making it? And I think it's problematic. I don't see it. The other big news is before we came on, and this is somewhat substantial news, is Von Miller is not coming off a PUP. Adam Schefter reported that Von Miller will not come off PUP, which makes sense. Older player coming off a torn ACL that happened later in the season. These injuries take some time. They're just not automatic. You come back. And here's what happens, Stormy. You come back from it. Everybody expects you to remember when you were. Then is then, now is now. Now it's harder. And so I probably think it's a smart move for Buffalo to really let Von Miller get healthy and then give him that boost in November.
Yeah, good in the sense that he'll be at his best later on in the season, to your point. Bad or unfortunate, I guess, based on the thought process of who you play in those opening 4 weeks of the season. Obviously, week one, division opponent, Monday Night Football against the Jets, who have a lot of hype around them. And then week four against the Dolphins, the Raiders and Commanders mixed in there as well. But especially game one, Michael, last 60 seconds, does that impact your view of that Monday Night Football game at all for the Bills defense?
Not really, no. I don't think so. I think the Bills, will Miller have rushed well? I don't think Miller – I wasn't counting on Miller being a dominant player in that game anyway. I think this is a smart play. I think you're better off playing healthy players than trying to get a guy who's not 100% to play at a high level. I think that's hard.
Bills a 2-point favorite on the road in New York. Their total 46. And Miller, before the injury last year on Thanksgiving against the Lions, 8 sacks, 10 TFLs, and a forced fumble in 11 games prior to the injury. But 34 years old, let this guy get as healthy as humanly possible so you can have him when it matters most late in the season. We're going to take our first time out of the day here on the Lombardi Line, but there is still plenty more to break down as it pertains to the NFL. We got Michael determining whether or not some information is news or noise when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're less than 48 hours away from our VSiN updated NFL betting guide being released. Throughout this entire NFL preseason, our VSiN experts have been reevaluating each and every team to give you a betting edge. And this updated guide has everything you need. Picks from each of our on-air hosts, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19, or you can save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Our own Michael Lombardi as well has individual breakdowns for every single team. You're going to want to make sure you get in there and get that updated NFL guide. And Michael, as we continue to break down some of the big news around the NFL, around college football as well, with week one approaching here this coming weekend, there's a lot of information that comes across our timelines and we're reading in the morning that we need to decipher whether or not it's actually newsworthy and can impact things for us on the field or down the line versus stuff that's just noise. So can you help me out? Can we go through some of these?
I would love it. Yeah. I mean, I'd love it because I think that's really part of what we have to do as a network is separate what is good information with what is just noise. I mean, just think about how the media and everybody on Twitter went crazy. Oh my God, the Cardinals are cutting Colt McCoy. How could they do that? They're going to tank. Meanwhile, the book didn't move the number at all, right? So for the book, it was just noise because the book doesn't think Colt McCoy's any good. Whether Dobbs plays or McCoy's play, the number wasn't going to change. There's the difference, right? That's what we have to always be conscious of.
So let's get into it. Our first topic here in news or noise is just perfect evidence of showing us the NFL is king, that a third string quarterback gets all the headlines and attention that he does. But Jerry Jones kind of set national media ablaze yesterday after revealing that he didn't consult Dak Prescott or inform him beforehand that they were going to go ahead and grab former number 3 overall pick to the San Francisco 49ers, Trey Lance. Mike McCarthy was also not informed about the decision until afterwards, but was part of the player evaluation. Is that news or noise, Michael?
Well, it's news to people that don't know anything about football or how the working of an NFL team operates. That makes it news. But if you're an ex-player, you think it's news because you've never been in front offices before. But no player, I've never seen any player, you have to do that too, especially one that hasn't won a Super Bowl. Before we drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Brady was told, hey, there's a chance we're going to draft a guy in the second round. Okay, we weren't sure, but at least Bill gave him that courtesy. But in terms of making a trade for the third string quarterback, I got to call the first string. So what you're saying to me is, oh my God, Trey Lance is so good. You've got to worry about it. I got to talk to Dak. Are you kidding me? And then I got to talk to the head coach, who really has no voice in personnel. They read Mike McCarthy's review, right? They know what he thinks of the player. They weighed that into the grade when they put him up on the board in the draft room. So why would they have to go back and rekindle it again? I mean, to me, it's all noise. It's just noise. It's people that don't understand how the league operates. And you say, well, Jerry's not communicating. No, the reason you don't communicate is because people leak stuff out. It gets out when you tell, right? You tell one person, you've really told 11. You know, so you got to be careful. And Jerry didn't want it to get out. I think it's noise.
And we heard a lot of people yesterday making the argument, well, didn't we learn anything from when the Packers go out and draft Jordan Love in the first round and didn't tell Aaron Rodgers, didn't give him the heads up about anything? And I sure understand it from that perspective. But again, this is a third string quarterback, Michael. This isn't a guy that's stepping in with plans to supplant Dak Prescott from his starting role. Like, the 49ers moved on from him because he wasn't even their third string option.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Dak probably talked at before the game, and, you know, and I'm sure that conversation, it's about a third string quarterback. You're right. Like, can we stop with making Trey Lance to be this all-star, please? Can we stop?
Well, that's what I'm saying,
like,
Michael.
Why is a guy who never plays always going to take somebody's job? I mean, can't people on Twitter and some people on our network admit that they're wrong with this evaluation, that they saw something that doesn't exist?
Michael,
like, it's just not there.
I'm a 49ers fan.
Come.
I would have loved to have had Trey Lance work out and be this world-beating quarterback. I would have loved that, but that's not the reality of the situation. And just because somebody had a draft position that they had doesn't mean that they're going to work out in the NFL. It's not a Trey Lance-specific thing. It's something we've seen numerous times. So I'm ready to move on from it, and I agree. I think this is noise. Let's keep it rolling here, though.
I'm so tired of talking about Trey Lance. It's ridiculous.
That's why
really.
I'm saying we can
I've
move on.
I've never seen a quarterback. I've never seen a third string quarterback get so much attention, and it's all noise. It's all noise.
You're not going to get any disagreement out of me. Let's keep it in the NFC West then, from a former 49ers quarterback to one with the Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, revealed on her podcast. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but didn't get the full extent. The morning after with Kelly Stafford, that the Rams quarterback is having trouble connecting with his young teammates. He even asked the equipment staff to print out some pictures of his teammates' faces so that he could know everyone's faces and names. She says, they say to him, sir, they call him sir. And he's like, no, we're on the same level here. We're both playing in the league. Let me get to know you. He said it's so different and so hard to get to know these guys. Also said they get out of practice and meetings during camp and they go straight to their phones. No one looks up from their phones. Matthew's like, I don't know. Am I the dad? Do I take their phones? What do I do here? He's like, I want them to see me as not a coach. Also added, he doesn't know how to lead people he has no connection with, Michael. I think this is news. What do you think?
I think it's definitely news. I think it's really hard. I think it's hard because, you know, part of the job of the leader is to understand who you're leading. You know, when I was in New England in 14, we were dealing with I think we called it millennials. So we brought an expert in, and Brady was in the room with us to help him to understand what we're dealing with, you know, because not everyone is exactly who we were growing up. And you've got to adjust your thought process, you know, and I think that that's really important. And Stafford's got to do that. You know, he's got to lead. He's got to rely on Sean McVay to be the leader of the team, but he also has to lead and kind of not be kind of aloof and distant and away from the players, because that huddle and being in that huddle, as he is the one guy they'll play hard for. I think it's the difference between some great quarterbacks and guys that just don't connect to their team. You know, I think it's one of the strengths of Jimmy Garoppolo. He has that unique ability to connect. I mean, you saw it after they got done playing the 49ers, the Raiders. All the 49er players went over to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has that. Quarterbacks need to have it.
Stafford, 35 years old, entering year 15 in the league, third season with the Rams. See if he can find some of that connection, because with the lack of just on paper talent that they have. You're going to need that if you want to win some football games. Let's go to college football, Michael, because for the first time in 17 seasons as Alabama's head football coach, Nick Saban is not putting out a game week depth chart. He said he felt the depth chart takes focus away from the game and could cause players to be discouraged when they see their spot. Quote, it creates a lot of distractions for the team, creates a lot of guys thinking, well, this guy won the job, now I'm not going to get to play or whatever. And quite frankly, we don't need that. In the SEC, the Tide are now one of three teams not releasing depth charts, joining LSU and Texas A&M. News or noise?
Well, I think it's news. I think the reason he's not releasing it is because he's not certain. Last year, remember when Michigan played two quarterbacks in their system and they really weren't sure who they had? There was a lot of argument within the building in Michigan that maybe it was J.J. McCarthy, maybe it was the other kid, but they let it play out. They let it play out. Everybody thought it was ridiculous. And eventually it came to the right conclusion that J.J. McCarthy was the best player. I think that's what Nick might be doing. Like, I can't really tell, so I don't want to make a mistake. There's no rule that says you have to make a starter. Like, I think that was the mistake in Tampa. Yeah, I think Baker's going to start, but I don't think Baker's locked in to stay in there for the, you know, I think Baker's going to be on a little bit of a tight walk. And I think it's sometimes smart. You know, I think it makes the player feel like, okay, I gotta deliver here. I'm not locked into this job.
Nick Saban doesn't usually like strike me as somebody who cares about feelings. So I thought the quote was a little bit interesting, but I'm more surprised than anything else, Michael. So many coaches just do the ors on the depth chart. I think it wouldn't have been a big deal if he just put a depth chart out like any other coach normally does and just put the Jalen Milroe or the so-and-so or down the line. Coaches across the country do that every single week.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I mean, that certainly would be the case if you did. And, I just don't think a guy that is convicted with his opinion and his ability to evaluate like Nick Saban has the consensus within his head of exactly what's going to happen.
And I know this is an Alabama team, Michael, that despite some of the question marks here early in the season, you're pretty high on to make it down the line later on in the show. Michael and I are going to give out who we think will make that four-team college football playoff.
Yeah.
Also playing in the championship game. We'll have our guy Aaron Moore join us to talk through some week one college football action later on. Will Hill's going to join the show in a little bit as well to give some of his takes on college football and the NFL. We are just getting started here, Michael.
You bet.
Yes, sir. We're going to take a quick timeout here on the Lombardi line. But when we return, looking at some AFC win total movement. Yesterday, we analyzed a lot in the NFC and numbers that have ticked up or down. Do we think these adjustments are the right move or the wrong move in the AFC next?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the G-Bank Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash reward on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. G-Bank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSIN. That's g.bank/VSIN. Welcome back into the Lombardi line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Yesterday, we had Thomas Gable on the program, sportsbook director at the Borgata. We were talking through a number of season win totals, Michael, that were on the move, focused mostly on the NFC yesterday. So we'll turn our attention to the AFC here, too. One of the biggest moves that we saw this offseason was with the Baltimore Ravens with a two-game adjustment, opened 8.5, now sitting 10.5. And of course, when lines opened, there was a question about Lamar Jackson and whether or not he would get his contract done to remain with the team. They end up signing Odell Beckham Jr., making some other upgrades. Agree or disagree with the two-game move, though, up to 10.5?
Well, I think they set the line low because I think they really fully anticipated Lamar wasn't coming back. That has to be the only reason. Mm-hmm. I think it went too high. I'm not sold that Baltimore's going to be an elite team. I know they've got Odell, and God knows if you have Odell. I mean, there's no limit to how good you could become. You know, I mean, it's just remarkable. you know, you have Odell. He's got Odell. You have Odell. That would be great, too, if you had Odell and Odell, right? I mean, so anyway, I think it was too much of an adjustment to 10.5. I think the division is really tough. And defensively, I'm a little concerned about their secondary, which has not played well the last two seasons. I mean, they've been they've been not a good secondary in the last 2 years, Baltimore. And this year, with all the injuries, and if Humphreys has to play outside corner, that's going to be a real issue for them, especially as the other teams in the North have improved. So I would think there's the under getting more action than the over at 10.5.
When it comes to the weapons around Lamar Jackson and the thought process with new offensive coordinator Todd Monken, that he might have the opportunity to throw the ball a little bit more than we've ever seen Lamar Jackson do in his career, from an offensive perspective, like, how high is the ceiling, you think, for that side of the ball for the group?
Well, I think it takes you down a little different road, right, Stormy? So they've been a run-based team. They've averaged over 5 yards a carry, and they could run the football effectively. And when you can run the ball, your offensive linemen are very good at being able to handle the run. They're very good at being able to run block. And they use a lot of play action in their pass protection. If you start throwing it more and you start trying to work it down the field, all of a sudden those linemen are not equipped to be the best pass protectors that you need to be. Now, Lamar can escape from anybody. He's Harry Houdini back there. But I think it's going to be interesting to see them. You know, can Ronnie Stanley stay healthy? I think that's going to be a key question because they need him to stay healthy at left tackle. And can they hold up front if they're going to start throwing it all over the lot? I think that's the underlying area. You know, San Francisco, for as great as they are on offense, their drop-back pass game is almost non-existent. They want to run action, and they want to run the football, and everything comes off of their boots, their nakeds, and their linemen are built to pass block off of a run action. And when they get into a game where they have to just drop back pass, it becomes a problem. That's what I want to see what happens to Baltimore.
Yeah, the Ravens are a team I'm excited to see what they could do, but it's a question mark to your point about the division and the toughness of it. The Bengals, who have high expectations once Joe Burrow gets back healthy and out there on the field, but the Browns in year two with Deshaun Watson, the steps that he could take for that offense, we know that's a roster that's talented as all get out. And then the Steelers, I don't know how you feel, Michael, but in my opinion, might have, if there was a player to win the NFL preseason, it might be Kenny Pickett and the expectations that the Steelers have to exceed.
Right, but it just wasn't this preseason, right? And so that's what happens. We get caught up in it. You know, it's like the Colt McCoy conversation. Well, they lost Colt. You know, Kenny Pickett was good the last 9 games of the year, protected the football. Trubisky came in and turned the ball over against Baltimore. They lost that game. They're 7-2 down the stretch. Defense was outstanding. They had timely offense. They weren't sexy. You know, they weren't trying to throw it all over the lot. They protected their offensive line. Dan Moore, their left tackle, didn't play well last year. He's playing much better this season. So I think Pittsburgh isn't a fluke in terms of what they did this preseason. I think it's a continuation of the progress they made from last year and Tomlin's determination to not let it slip. Tomlin knows he's got a young team. He's got a good defense. He's going to work them.
Yeah, there are a lot of things I look back on that Steelers team. Not only Kenny Pickett improving his development, the touchdown interception ratio was dramatic the back half of the season, but even a guy like Najee Harris, who we didn't know at the time, but started the season with a metal plate in his cleat to help protect his foot. Different things like that, that he ended up playing much better later on. TJ Watt is going to be back healthy. They are a candidate, I think, to go over their season win total at 8.5 and keep the Mike Tomlin over 500 seasons rolling. Another team that had their win total move, oddly enough, though, tick up, the Houston Texans from 5.5 to 6.5. This is a team that many think could be competing for the bottom of the barrel in the NFL this year for the worst record in the league.
Yeah, look, I think they'll play hard. I think it's going to be some growing pains with CJ Stroud. I think that number that you gave out yesterday about rookie quarterbacks in the first month of September, it's going to tell the story. And I don't think that's a trend that's going to get bucked. I think that's a trend that's going to continue. And Houston's not great on defense. They're a little undersized. You know, everybody says, well, they got Will Anderson. You know, I had a scout in the league text me yesterday about, you know, I haven't seen Will Anderson do anything unless he's unblocked. Like, me too. Like, I watch him, and, like, I know he's got these accolades about how great he is, but is he going to do it when he's blocked? I mean, I'm good too if nobody blocks me. So I think it's going to take some time for Houston. But, look, let's face it, as I did in the write-up, You know, they're not going to fire D'Amico Ryans. He's got 6 years. Give him time and let him establish his culture. Let him get it right. But I have a feeling they're going to have a high draft choice.
Anyone, too, who was maybe looking for that stat yesterday, got it from a great article at VSiN.com from Steve Mackinnon on rookie quarterbacks weeks 1, 2, and 3 over the last 17. Teams with rookie quarterbacks starting those early week games, 1-15-1 straight up, 4-13 against the spread. Also just averaged 15.5 points per game, leading to a lot of unders as well. Last 25 games for those young rookie quarterbacks starting in early week games, 20-5. So just some food for thought. There. As it keeps going, though, Michael, Jacksonville Jaguars, another team that I feel like has had a lot of hype this offseason, but we saw their win total actually tick down from 10.5 to 9.5. Do you think that's the right move?
You know, I'm not sold on Jacksonville's defense, and I do think it's the right move. They're somewhat inconsistent offensively, and, you know, they got this hype, but I think if you peel back the layer, right, you know, Joshua Dobbs has given them all they can handle in the last game of the year. Right? I mean, it's true. I mean, until Josh Allen sacks him and strip fumbles, that's a close game. You know, and then they have this give up this, they have a huge lead against, they get behind against the Chargers. The Chargers move the ball up and down the field on them, and then they can't close it out. I'm not sure, they haven't done nothing defensively. I'm not sure they're good enough defensively to be a 12-win team, 13-win team. I think they've got great talent offensively, and I think Lawrence will continue to improve, but Lawrence isn't a guy that doesn't turn it over. He'll make mistakes in games, and he'll have great ones, and he'll have not so great ones. So I think it's the wrong move to go up. I think it, you know, it, I think going to 9.5 is the right move. I think Tennessee's going to be better defensively. The Colts will give them some trouble just because the Colts will play hard. And the same thing with the Texans. I think it's going to be a little more challenging playing a first-place schedule for Jacksonville.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a few times this offseason, Michael, that maybe the gap, the perceived gap from the public between the Jags and Titans isn't as large as the odds might indicate there. Last one here as we wrap up this segment, the Raiders saw their win total tick down from 7.5 to 6.5. I think that it was a play against team for a lot of people when they heard the Jimmy Garoppolo contract news without fully understanding the scope of what that actually meant.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You know, and now he's back and they've actually looked good this summer. Their offensive line looks improved. They've got very good skill players. Josh Jacobs is in camp. They're better defensively. Are they great defensively? No, I don't think so. But they've got Max Crosby. You know, they're better against the run. Spillane will help them as their middle linebacker. He seems to be playing well, and I think they can cover better in terms of their scheme. I think if they got the 8 wins, it's going to be a good year for them. I think they're going to play hard. Look, last year, as badly as they played, and it was one of Carr's worst years in his career, if you look at it numerically, they were in a lot of games. Mm-hmm. They lost a lot of close games. They were there with a defense that couldn't stop anybody. I think they'll be better this year.
Another name, too, Hunter Renfro. They have positive feelings about the way that he can get back on track this year. And Josh Jacobs signing that one-year adjusted deal for worth up to $12 million, I think, is just huge for the Raiders to know that they have such a foundational piece for them on offense coming off leading the NFL in rushing yards a season ago. We are going to step aside here on the Lombardi line, but in just a little bit, VSiN's own Will Hill, VSiN contributor, he's going to join the program over Skype, talk through some of his season win total bets in the NFL, as well as an opening week game he likes in college football. One bet, Michael, it's a long shot. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk to him about it, though, because it's pretty hard to do, but I don't think he's alone in his thought process, so we'll get to all of that.
I don't think he is
either. Right? Right? Okay. See, that's what we call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to it on the other side of the break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI as well. See which VSiN expert has a hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today. Just $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's also how you can get the updated version of our NFL betting guide. We know the regular NFL betting guide comes out earlier this offseason, but now that the preseason is in the books, we've got updated thoughts from all of our experts, analysts, and hosts. Great information you're going to want to get coming out this Thursday. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Time to welcome into the show somebody whose picks will be on that VSiN.com/picks page, Will Hill, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. VSiN contributor does a great job covering a number of sports for us here at the network. Will, welcome in. How are you, buddy?
What's going on? Congratulations. I don't think I've talked to you, spoken to you since. So congrats. I'm happy for you. What's going on? Football is here. There's a little chill in the air on the East Coast. We survived the summer.
Chill in the air? What are you talking about? Chill? There's no chill in the air here. I don't know where the hell you're living. I mean, I got no chill. I mean, you might be able to go to Starbucks and get your Halloween drinks, but there's no chill in the air down here in Ocean City. I don't know what you're doing.
It's not too bad. Look, I just got back from Florida, so everything's a little cooler. But at night, yeah, during the morning, you could feel the fall. You could feel the fall a little bit. It's here, though.
Michael, I'm not talking temperature, but with you, when it comes to some of your takes, there's no chill there either. So we come locked and loaded.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't want my man to be telling people, like, it's hot here. It's humid. We're not really where we are, you know. So I want to correct correct the narrative.
Got to do.
We got a lot of bad narratives out there.
Got to do what you got to do.
We have a lot of bad narratives out there, right? Like, I'm sure you didn't fall for it. That when they cut Colt McCoy, Will, did you think that they were tanking? Is that how you took that?
Well, I did bet 22-1 for them to go winless. I'll say this. I mean, first of all, it reminds me of the movie Major League when they're going through the roster and like, who's this guy? Who's that guy? This guy here is dead. Cross him off. I mean, you go through this team, it is really bad. And I will just say, whoever plays quarterback, whether it's Clayton Tune or it's Dobbs, the other one's probably going to play because it's going to be very hard for anybody to stay healthy behind this offensive line. They're so bad on the line. The receivers are okay, but the defense is bad. I mean, this is a bad team that lost players. Watt was maybe their best player on defense last year. He's not there anymore. He's retired. So, look, it's the NFL. They'll probably luck into a win or two, but there's a scenario here where they're not on the same level as a lot of these teams. And to me, at 22-1, it's worth a shot. They're going to be an underdog in every single game, you know, and if they don't get one early, later in the season, once you get to December, it's a lot of outdoors and cold weathers, whether it's Cleveland, Philly. I think they got to go to Chicago, so maybe you can get one at Chicago. But this is really rough. Look, the players don't tank. We know that. We saw that last year with, what was it, the Texans, the final game of the season. The players are always going to play hard, but this team is designed to lose, and they are going to do a lot of losing. I don't think we're going to see Murray. So at 22-1, I think it's going to be a fun sweat. There's a chance here they go winless.
I understand the 22-1 being like a bigger value type of a thing, Michael, but I was looking at maybe 4-1 to be the last winless team because I look at their schedule. It's like week 10 or 11 is the first time you think, okay, maybe they could beat the Falcons or Texans.
I like that one. When you mentioned that earlier in the show, I thought, oh, that's a good play right there. I can't imagine this. Let me throw a little bit more fuel on the fire. So the way Murray's contract is written is if he plays this season and he happens to get injured again, then they can't release him next year. And every one of his guarantees moving forward are he has to be on the roster the fourth day of the league year. So it does give them flexibility to get away from it. There's $92 million of future guarantees, but they come in sections. And I think what this move signals is they're not putting Murray on the field at all this year. I don't think they're going to put him on the field at all, which allows that 4-1 to play. I don't think they'll put him on the field. I don't think they'll risk him getting injured in a game and then not being able to cut him or to make a move. Because what it does is it starts that guaranteed clock first at $56 million and then he's got $92 million. So I think the contract here is really going to keep him off the field.
And look, they're taking all the jokes today. They're the punchline. I actually think going forward, they might be in good position because remember, they have that Texans pick for the Will Anderson trade. They're going to have a high pick this year, probably the first pick in the draft. So they're going to stockpile some picks. If they can ever get Caleb Williams, they're going to have picks to build around him. So there's a lot of teams in worse shape than they are, including like my Vikings who are just stuck in purgatory forever. So I actually like, you know, 2-3 years from now that this team might look a lot different.
Hey, I'm on that Vikings win total over, baby. Let's get it. Kirk Cousins for life. I am also looking through some of the selections that you have made in pocket bets for this NFL season, one of which being the Carolina Panthers under 7.5 wins. curious when you made this bet, Will, and if it was something that was impacted by specifically the offensive line play this preseason.
Yeah, I have actually not made this yet, and I always bet every single pick I give out, so I will bet this. If you remember, I was on during the spring, and I made a case for them 4-1 to win a division, and look, I'm not ripping up my ticket yet, but if I had nothing in pocket, this is why I haven't bet it yet. I don't want to bet against myself and possibly lose both bets. You have to be concerned about this team getting to 8 wins. I mean, Murray doesn't have an elite offensive weapon to work with. They don't have a lot of speed at receiver. I saw they made a trade today with the Chiefs to get a little more juice, a little more speed on the field. You have a small, short quarterback behind a bad offensive line. All right, they're pretty good on defense. I know they were competitive last year under Wilkes, but, man, there's a lot of concerning things. You never want to just make a bet based on preseason. You don't want to overreact, but you don't want to ignore it either. And there were some really concerning signs here from the Panthers. So I think the play here is Panthers under 7.5 wins. I think you just do pretty well blindly betting against rookie quarterbacks, you know, in terms of season win totals. There's usually a growth period here where these rookie quarterbacks struggle. So I like Young. I think he'll be a good player, but I don't know that he's set up for success here.
Is this a bet against Frank Wright or a bet against a rookie quarterback for you?
It's more the roster. I mean, that offensive line, again, I mean, that's just what's his best offensive weapon? There's just not a lot of speed there. So it's really not a bet against Young. It's really just a bet against the situation that he's in. And Reich, like you mentioned, he hasn't done well early in seasons. He's been bad in openers. So that, I mean, Atlanta's getting bet and bet and bet. That was a pick 'em when it opened. We're up to 4. I bet we get to 4.5, maybe even 5 in some spots. So it's a little bit of both. I think Young's going to be a good player. I understand the trade, but I don't know. This isn't a great spot for him.
You're also looking at a Bengals season win total under 11. Joe Burrow dealing with the calf strain this preseason, unavailable to get in all the work at training camp. I mean, training camp's just not this guy's friend with what he's had to deal with the last handful of years. But unsure of how or when he's going to get back out here on the field with the Bengals, and then still takes a little bit of time for chemistry. Was that a big impact for your thought process on taking the Bengals under?
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, he's missing prep time. And there's, of course, there's a chance for re-injury with the calf. Not that I'm a doctor or anything, but look, it's a few things. It's the schedule. It's the fact that the Steelers have looked so good in the preseason. I think the Browns, there's a ton of upside there. The Ravens are always a gutty team that's around 10 wins. Even without Lamar, they were gutty last year. So if you keep Lamar healthy, boy, that's 6 hard games in division. You have to play the 49ers. You have to play the Bills. You have to play the Chiefs. I mean, you got to get to 12 wins to beat you. DraftKings does a good job with this. You can play around with the juice and play under 11.5 minus 150, so saying, hey, even if I land 11-6, 11-6 is a hell of a year in the AFC. You still cash. I mean, you got to lay minus 150, but I think it's going to be very hard with this schedule, with the Burrow injury concern, to get to 12 wins. I know it's a good team, but man, 12 wins is a lot in that with that schedule.
You know, and I don't disagree with you, Will. I think they start slow, that if they do that again, and there's a lot of moving pieces within their team. New offensive line. They're going to have, you know, 2 new safeties. And Burrow's coming off of not playing. Yeah, they start 5-4 again. I don't know how you get to 12 wins.
12's a lot. 12's a lot. I mean, look, 11-6, you still cash it. And again, you got to pay a little extra. That would probably be my favorite bet. Under 11.5 minus 150. I think that's a good number. That's worth it.
Will, we got week 0 in the books. Week 1 college football ahead beginning on Thursday. What's your bet of the week?
And boy, I played a bunch of unders. Some of these unders have moved, though. So I will go with Duke. There's a 13.5 out there. Might as well wait and see if you can get a 14. I think it's a standalone game, so people are probably going to be betting Clemson. I'm just not super high on this Clemson team. I didn't like Klubnik from what I saw last year. I know there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of hype. He was bad in that bowl game against Tennessee. But I just don't think Dabo, with his, you know, he hasn't been willing to go into transfer portal to deal with NIL. So I'm going to fade Clemson here. I'll take the 13.5 or so with Duke. Again, I would wait. But to me, Elko is one of the best coaches in the country. The job he did last year with Duke was incredible. So this is a team. I know some people think there might be some regression because they got a little lucky with the turnovers last year, but that's a whole bunch of points for a team that's well coached. I will take Duke here plus the points.
They did get a little lucky, but this year a lot of returning production from that team that did know how to win finally under Elko. I like the thought process. Thanks so much, Will. Appreciate the time.
All right, see you. Thanks for having me.
And we talked a moment ago about the potential of this Cardinals team tanking for Caleb Williams. Well, how will his squad, the USC Trojans, play out this year? Could they be in a spot to potentially make the college football playoff? I know they certainly would like to put themselves in the position. Michael and I will break down who our final four, the last 4 men standing, might be in college football when the season is all said and done, when we return here on the Lombardi Line.